As we continue in the scriptures, invite you, first of all, to open your Bibles to Numbers. We'll do the Numbers passage first. Numbers 35. From Numbers 35, we'll read the verses 22 through 28. And it's in the context of protection, in the context of the cities of refuge where those could flee if there was an accidental death at the hand of one who did not mean to put someone else to death. And at verse 22, the Numbers passage will be expanded upon in Deuteronomy. But verse 22, and God's word then speaks this way. However, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity, or throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him, so that he dies, while he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled. And he shall remain there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And secondly, to Deuteronomy chapter 19. And we're going to read the first 13 verses. The first 13 verses, Deuteronomy chapter 19, where God continues to lay forth his word in this manner. When the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God has given you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself, and divide into three parts the territory of your land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live, lest the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall separate three cities for yourself. Now if the Lord your God enlarges your territories, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three. Lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him and strikes him mortally so that he dies. And he flees to one of these cities. Then the elders of his city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it might go well with you. Let's hear the words once again of verse 3. You shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. May the Lord so add his blessing to the public reading of his word, that we may give attention to the call of the Lord for his glory's sake. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in recent years, the situation, the story of refugees have been much in the news. We've heard the accounts of thousands upon thousands of displaced peoples who are fleeing their homelands. Refugees who do not know where they're going, nor the road before them, looking for a place of safety and security. We cannot begin to imagine how their lives have been turned upside down, and for the various reasons, their lives have experienced so much turmoil. There has been much discussion concerning legalities and how best to welcome these refugees seeking refuge. And also as a church, we cannot close our eyes to the alien, as the scriptures describe. We cannot close our eyes to the plight of those in desperate need. Refugees seek a road that leads to freedom, opportunity, and life. And our text this afternoon speaks of a road. We often take our roads for granted. The roads we travel on are essential and fundamental to the way that we organize our lives. And without a system of roads, our travel would be limited and only very few of us would be here this afternoon. But our text speaks of a very particular road. It speaks of a road to be built for the one fleeing, for the one seeking to preserve his or her life. It is a road with a particular purpose. And now it may appear at first glance that our text this afternoon would be an odd choice to set the context for our celebration of the Lord's Supper. But as we go along this afternoon, I believe the connection will become clear. Our text speaks of a provision that God makes for the protection of those who are to be regarded innocent of a capital crime, and the particular crime of the shedding of blood. And as we shall see, that the road to the cities of refuge leads to a place of protection, a place of life. The book of Deuteronomy, as many of you know, is a farewell message, the farewell sermon of Moses. Moses instructing the Old Testament congregation, seeking to prepare them to enter the promised land. Some of those instructions were already given in the book of Exodus, but that first generation had forfeited the blessing to enter the promised land. We're in the second generation, and now they're about to cross the river and enter to their inheritance. Moses not only rehearses their history, he sets before them a clear word as to how their lives are to be organized within the life of the covenant. It's important that our patterns of life have an organized fashion, and Moses is preparing an entire nation for what is to be their lifestyle in the land to come. The people are reminded of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 40 years of, so to speak, going in circles, living in gridlock, a life of what we might call congested traffic. When we read through Deuteronomy, we hear Moses set forth the principles, the stipulations of covenantal life. He explains the relationship of love and grace offered by the Lord to his people. And he points out to the covenant community their calling to love the Lord with the entirety of their being. The spiritual emphasis in the book of Deuteronomy is a summons to a total commitment to the Lord in worship and obedience. The Lord also asks of us that kind of commitment. Life lived according to the word of God is the abundant life. Apart from the word of God, our lives are chaos. Now, our scripture lesson this afternoon finds its place as part of the second of three addresses of Moses. The people of Israel, so to speak, are at the door, ready to cross the threshold. Soon they'll receive their inheritance. And Moses is instructing the people what to do once they settle in the land. And as we heard the Bible speak, the people are told to set aside three cities of refuge. Three cities of refuge on the west side of the Jordan. And prior to this, there had already been three cities designated on the east side for such refuge. How does the Bible describe the purpose of these cities? Well, they were a provision within the justice system of the Old Testament covenant community. When murder was committed, the murderer was to be put to death. But what if the death was accidental? What was this one to do to protect his or her life? The cities of refuge were established at several strategic locations to provide a place of sanctuary for those who had killed someone unintentionally. And there they could remain in safety until they had been judged innocent by the congregation. There they were to remain till the death of the current high priest. At that time, they could then freely return to their original home without fear of reprisal. But as we heard in Numbers 35, first the priest of that particular city of refuge had to die. The Lord, by means of his word, wanted to ensure that the people of the covenant could live under the sovereignty of his justice. Under the rule of the Lord's justice, life had to be protected, the life created by the Lord, the life with which he wishes to live in communion with his people. It's a life set apart. It is to be holy. Therefore, any blood shed in the land of the inheritance had to be avenged. If someone was killed, his nearest blood relative would have to see that vengeance was carried out. The Lord's justice had been violated by the act of intentional manslaughter and therefore had to be restored by the death of the murderer. Life is in the blood. But now, what to do in regards of unintentional murder? From the scriptures, we heard the example of one whose axe head would, as it were, fly off the handle and hit someone, resulting in death. What a terrible moment. What to do? When there is death in the family, there's always sorrow. But in this particular case, there's another range of additional emotions. These are troubling circumstances that happen in the ordinary course of life. If you did not commit such an act by design, the Lord provides a provision for protection. In the city of refuge, the grace of the Lord was a protective shield. An unintentional sin receives specific treatment in the law of our God. So we might say all the bases need to be covered, and God takes care to consider all the variables. The text that we read this afternoon commands to build roads. There had to be a way to get to the place of sanctuary, the place of safety. Now, what these roads looked like, we do not know, certainly not like our paved freeways, but nonetheless, roads that could be traveled. It would have taken a fair bit of work to make sure that these roads functioned in a purposeful way, all by manual construction. Without a road, we might say the way to go is blocked. This command to build roads was not a reference to ordinary roads. It was not a command to build roads in general. That would have been happening regardless. But God wanted to make sure that his special cities of mercy would be accessible. The manslayer needed a way to get to the city of refuge. And by means of these roads, a haven of protection is provided. Unintentional manslaughter is one of the miseries resulting from sin. Only the death of the high priest would provide complete deliverance from that guilt. Until then, the one in question would have to remain in that place. And with the eyes of faith now, we need to see, in light of our celebration of the Lord's Supper, the deep significance of our text also for us here this afternoon. There had to be death to bring freedom from the demands of the law. And as a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest would take the guilt with him to his grave. Of course, this high priest of the Old Testament did not himself atone for the sin. But through this particular practice, Israel, the Old Testament church, was to learn to hope for the Christ, who would indeed take all the sins of his people with him into the grave. And when he arose, it would be without our sins. Then new life and freedom can begin. The Lord has instituted these practices to impress upon the people that they lived under the sovereignty of divine justice, a justice that would ultimately be answered in time in Christ, in the mercy, the compassion, the steadfast love of our Savior. Those who fled to the city of refuge pleaded their innocence. But now, what of those who are not innocent of the crimes uncovered by the holy light of heaven, the crimes that live in our own hearts? Who covers for you? Who covers for me? In our sin nature, we are all refugees. In our sin nature, we are estranged from our homeland. In our sin nature, we have lost our inheritance. In our sin nature, there's only the prospect of running for our life. In our sin nature, we can design no way out. We are trapped, we might say, under the consuming fire of God, the vengeance of the Lord. But we're here this afternoon to testify with thanksgiving in our hearts that our Heavenly Father has constructed, shall we say, a road for us. A road that is paved with the blood of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who himself, in a certain sense, became a refugee to enter our world so that we may be brought to his. So that we might be brought to the other side, to the eternal kingdom, to the celestial city. Christ, who took upon himself all of your sins, all of my many sins, our besetting sins, our sins of omission, Our sins of commission, our sins of willfulness, our premeditated sins, our sins of manslaughter, all of them. And all who in sincerity and truth confess life in Christ may also then confess to live in innocence. Not an innocence of our own making, but in the innocence of Christ. And we too may flee to the city of mercy. And we too may travel that road of faith provided by the grace of God. Never forgetting that Jesus Christ has declared for us and to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as we sing from time to time and also in a few moments, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust is in thee. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. The Bible, our map book, shows us that we must travel the mercy-filled road. The Bible tells us, and we need to hear it over and again, to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the heavenly high priest. Christ, the refuge. In him we find our way to the eternal refuge, to the land beyond the river. And those who trust in Christ truly, who believe his death as our high priest satisfies the demands of God's holy law and spares us of the consequences of having broken God's law over and again. Those who walk the Jesus road shall surely arrive at the mercy-filled city of God, where they will find relief and joy. That's part of our celebration of the Lord's Supper, recognizing that Jesus has prepared a way, a place of eternal refuge. We speak of the New Jerusalem awaiting, a place of relief, a place where sin will no longer entangle us, a place of joy infinitely more liberating than experienced by those who staggered into a city of refuge. The illustration of the road speaks to many aspects of life. At times we speak of traveling the road of life. And alongside our roads, there are various signs that help us in how it is that we travel. There are yield signs, speed restriction signs, stop signs, and you know the list. Signs that tell us concerning our destination, markers pointing to where we intend to stop. And those traveling from one place to another are given indication as to how far yet to go. Heading to Woodstock, so many more kilometers. This is the exit that you need to take. Along the freeway, all these signposts helping us to get our bearings. And how beautiful that in the Christian journey of faith, we too have been given signs along the way, and in particular, the sacraments. The sacraments, we think of the waters of baptism. As they are being sprinkled and poured over the head of a little one. And in those waters, we recall the washing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper telling us again of the broken body and the shed blood of our Savior. The sacraments both pointing us to the Lord Jesus, who alone is the way, the road by which we must travel in order to enter the destination of eternal life. These beautiful sacraments that point to Jesus, who is our rest, who provides for us our refuge, who is our refreshment. Life has but two roads. There's the broad way. There's the narrow way. The broad way is a dead-end road. We need to remember that. The world may be enticed by its own broadness, but it only leads to death. The narrow way is the way of Christ, leading to life. It's no ordinary road. And we may never think lightly of the road paved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who had to travel a long road himself, the road from heaven, the glorious castle, shall we say, to the crude cradle in Bethlehem. And then there was that long twisting road that took him along the pathway to Golgotha. A road of deep humiliation, a road that brought him to the cross so that our road might one day bring us to the world to come. There are those, and you may have neighbors who speak this way, who say all roads lead to the same destination. We live in a multicultural society. And more and more, it is becoming very offensive to our culture at large to be exclusive. To say that Jesus is the only way is an offense to many people, and we get to hear it. Those who believe in the way that the Lord sets before us are called bigots, Neanderthals, and the like. The religion of Islam is said to be one way. The Mormons have another. And why? Even the so-called people who say they believe nothing, which is impossible. Together we'll all arrive at Grand Central Station, even if there might be such a thing. But the Bible teaches otherwise. Our travel calls us to pursue the destination. We've been given a new week. And as believers, we need to see the gift of a new week, not simply as another day, but we're on the march. We're on the way. Yes, along the way, we may find travel frustrating when we're not sure what to do with our lives in terms of our vocation and how best to fill our days. We find travel frustrating because in our own lives there is the never-ending work of road repair. Construction seems to take forever. And there is at times and seasons in our lives that a whole stop and go, stop and go. Our lives are like that at times. Is it not, congregation? And there are times when we are like children who cry out, Lord, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I believe honesty demands that we need to think more deeply enough where we are traveling and how it is that we are traveling. We even have the potholes of our own creation. There are the collisions that bring dents to our lives. There are things that the Lord sends to us to help us remember that we must stay on the road, and how much of this COVID business is a reminder, brothers and sisters, stay on the road. We must remember that even our smallest sin is a capital crime in the eyes of the Lord. God is holy, and our sin is worthy of capital punishment. And now, what a joy to confess in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, that the road to the mercy city has been prepared for us, and that our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, will take us to the destination. We don't have to be the ones who drive the vehicle. It's the Lord who needs to take us. And those who run the race of faith in Christ will not be lost. There are no wrong exits. There is a clear road which the Lord takes us. And will he take us home? Yes, he will. In the meantime, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in the book of Hebrews, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Today we continue to travel. We do not know how many days the Lord has given us here. But one day, traveling days in this world will be done. May we be strengthened for the journey. May we be strengthened in our worship unto God as we celebrate Christ's finished work. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the testimony of scriptures which speak to us in every place of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel, the good news. We thank thee, Father, that a way has been prepared, that a road by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us, and that in faith we are called to travel this road day by day. Lord God, we confess our great need. Lord, when we are weak, help us to look and remember the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to understand that we in ourselves have no strength, but that strength must be found in our precious Redeemer. Father, so go before us as we continue in worship, as we momentarily will celebrate the Lord's Supper. Grant, Lord, that our participation may be a real faith builder for the glory of thy holy name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.